Let's go ahead and pray together here before we get into God's Word. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for just the blessing of gathering together with your people, with your church family. And we're so thankful for the blessing that the gift really that the church is, that you have designed us to live together, and you want every believer to be a part of a local expression of that body. And Lord, we're so thankful for that. Realize all the benefits that come from that. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us as we get into your word this morning to understand it, but not to leave it at that knowledge aspect, but to really put it into practice, Lord. Give us your strength and your power and your wisdom on how to apply it. Lord, we also just want to lift up. We know that the hurricane is bearing down on the Keys in Florida right now, and we just pray for those that might be around there still, and just for your protection. And we just pray for all the people that will be working in the aftermath of this. Just give them the wisdom, Lord, on how to approach whatever they face. And so, Lord, we just pray for them right now. And pray for your grace, your mercy, and your help. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you're able to, would you stand up with me as we have the reading of God's Word this morning? We're continuing in 2 Timothy. Today we're going to be reading four verses. We're focusing in on the last two. So just listen as we hear the Word of God together. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That's God's Word. Please have a seat. How many of you guys read the manual when you get some new appliance? Not many, right? How many of you, when you got your iPhone or your Android phone, read the manual for that? All right, yeah, a couple people. Yeah. I think most, at least like the iPhone, I think it comes with this one thing, like, here's how you turn it on. You know, that's it. However, my wife one time, she gifted me a book, an electronic book, that showed me how to use all kinds of fun tips and tricks on my iPhone. And some of them were really great time savers. And, you know, I would never have known any of those things if I hadn't really dug in, you know. Some productivity things, you know, things that can really help you. And, you know, I was just thinking about that because we miss out a lot when we really don't dig into the Bible. We miss out on so much about how to raise our family, how to do relationships, how to forgive and receive forgiveness. We learn about God. I mean, you know, first and foremost, the Bible is a book about God, right? So we learn the truth about God. But if we're not people of the book, if you will, people of God's Word, we're really going to miss out on so much. And this morning, these two verses really tell us that, you know what, if you want to be prepared for all the wonderful things that God wants to do in your life and through your life, we need to be people of the book. That's really it. I mean, if we could say it in a sentence, that would be it. It would just be the fact that, you know, if we will be people of God's book, then we will be ready for the things that God wants to do in us and through us. We'll be prepared. You know, in teaching math part-time at Columbus State, the very first day of class, guess what they get in their hands? A syllabus, right? A syllabus, right? A fancy word for it. This is how the course is going to go. These are the expectations I have of you. These are the expectations you ought to have of me. In fact, it's really a legal document, truly. It's an agreement that I have with my students. And so usually in about a week's time, in one more week, you know, when we have the first exam that I'll give, some people won't be able to make it. I mean, out of the 90 students I have in my three classes, somebody will not be able to make it. Things always come up. I have a policy for makeups. Usually not, they forgot the policy, right? And so I have to kind of like, Mr. Belisle, I can't make it. Sorry. You know, and I'm like, I'm sorry too, because here's the policy, you know. And it's it just requires some documentation. I have to have some objectivity, right, to making that decision. Well, you know, are you blowing me off, or are you, is this a legitimate excuse, and that kind of thing. And so there's, you know, it's really that document is it's beneficial for both of us. We kind of know what's expected, right? In one sense, the Bible's the same way. You know, if we don't understand the Bible, if we're not people of the book, we're gonna make some wrong conclusions about what's going on. I mean, I might believe some pretty big lies. Like one lie that many times people believe is that God could never forgive me for fill in the blank, right? That, like, I've done something so bad that God could not forgive me. You know, another lie would be is that, okay, well, if I become a follower of Jesus, then it's just a smooth path from there. That, you know, I then that's a lie, because, you know, Jesus said in this world we'll have tribulations and so on, and there's many other places in the scripture where we realize if we got in there and read the Bible and took it in, we would not believe the lies that we do. And believing lies, you know, can really damage us or even the people in our families, right? Because if we don't know the way God has designed things to work and how what's on his heart and how we should live, then we're really going to run into problems. And so really, at the end of the day, as at the end of these couple of verses, when we spend time in here in these minutes that we have remaining, I want you to be thinking about this. You know, if I'm not a person of the book, if I don't become a person of the scriptures, I'm missing on what God has for my life. I'm missing out. I'm probably believing lies that are affecting how I live and enjoy my life and how I interact with people. And more importantly, I might have totally wrong ideas about who God is and how he wants to relate to me. And so this is really important. These are key things, you know, when we look at these verses here, particularly these verses 16 and 17. So I want to take a look at verse 16, just the first part there. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. That's an interesting way to say it, isn't it? Is breathed out by God. Well, the idea there is that being breathed out by God the scripture is basically authoritative. This is God's word. Okay? This is not man's word. Like these are not just ideas, nice ideas that got jotted down over time and then God blessed them. Okay? This is really saying, when it says it's God-breathed, it means that it originated with God, the words. And this is fascinating, too. It says the writings themselves are God-breathed, okay? It's not even talking about the authors yet here, okay? This passage says nothing about the people that wrote it down. It says everything about the writings. The writings, the Bible, you know, in all of its 66 books, the historical books in the Old Testament, the prophetic books that are there, and all the different types of literature in the Scripture, the poetry, right? And then you've got apocalyptic literature, and you know, you've got the Gospels, Jesus' teaching, and you know, all of that is God's Word to us. That's what it means when it says it's God-breathed, okay? And other translations will say, and this is a fine word to use, but say all Scripture is inspired by God, right? And some people wrongly take that to mean that, oh, well, that means that the people that wrote it, you know, were just had these great ideas and they were inspired to write them down. Well, that's not the idea of this inspiration here. Okay, this is God-breathed. It's coming from God. Oh, yeah, God used human instruments, people. He used men to write these things down, okay? But like I said, this passage doesn't talk about the actual transmission of how it was done, okay? And there are other passages that do talk about that, you know, in 1 Peter. In fact, let's just take a look at that one for a second. We'll just take a quick look at one aspect here. Actually, 1 Peter 1:21. So this just touches, okay, on, you know, not just about the writings themselves being God-breathed, but it gives us a little idea of how these writers were writing them down, so to speak, or how this went down. So 1 Peter 1, 21. That's not right. It should be 2:21, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Let's get the Peters right. Like Peter 1:21, is it? Come on. I must have copied the verse down wrong. What's that? Is she? 2:1:21. Yeah, there we go. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 Peter 1:21. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what you have here is this idea of being carried along. It's like a sail on a sailboat. This idea of the Holy Spirit kind of working in a person's life, moving them to write down exactly what God wanted. The Spirit of God blowing on their sail, if you will, moving them along, having them write. It wasn't them writing down what they wanted to. However, I believe my take on this is that God used their exact personalities, their upbringing, their environment, their, you know, all of that to come to bear to write down exactly what he wanted. Okay? So, you know, we have here these very words. The very words that are on the pages is what God wanted to communicate. All right? So, this idea, this truth that the Bible says, you know, this word here is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, think about that back there in 2 Timothy. Right, this idea of all Scripture. Right, well, so when you got to think about, okay, well, what was he referring to probably when he wrote it? Well, certainly they would have had the Old Testament. Okay, you couldn't go down to Walmart and buy a copy, right? But there were copies, right? And the Old Testament for sure. And there were probably some things floating around with Jesus' teaching on them. Okay. But some people say, well, can we really say that the New Testament is inspired by God? Is it really carry that same authority? Because when he wrote this, he's really, you know, writing at a time where most of the New Testament was not written, okay? And so that question comes up. And so I just thought, you know, that's a good question to answer because, you know, if we're going to give the Scriptures its authority in our lives, which it should have, We need to have that confidence that all of this is the Word of God, right? And so, if you take a look at John 14, so the Gospel of John, John 14, and verse 10, Jesus is speaking, and so it says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And listen, he says, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And so he's basically saying, what I'm saying is not, you know, it's coming from you, it's coming from the Father, and it has authority. So the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus have scriptural authority. They come with God's stamp of approval on it, if you will. Okay? So Jesus himself says, no, what he said was the Word of God, right? Now, one other thing just to talk about here, John 16. So we're turn a couple of pages, John 16, and verse 13, where it says, well, back up to verse 12, Jesus saying, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He's talking to his disciples, Jesus talking to his disciples. There's a lot of things he's saying, guys, I want to tell you, teach you, but we don't have time right now, and you can't handle it if I did. In verse 13, he says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he says, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And so what we have from that verse, Jesus was referring to, we know, when you're going to write these things down, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance everything you need to know. You get that? You see that? This is what he's saying. He's saying the Holy Spirit is going to bring to your mind everything that needs to be written. Isn't that cool? So we see there, well, the apostles then, when they're writing these things down, these things are God's Word. Okay? And you can just jot this one down. We won't look it up, but if you look in 2 Peter 3:16, you'll see Peter referred to Paul's writings as Scripture. Okay? Because he says something like, as the Scripture says, and then he's quoting Paul. So, you see that? So, you know, and I get the fact that we're using the Bible to authenticate the Bible. Okay, I get that. Okay? And we could certainly could give you some great things to read and to research, to talk about the authenticity of the Scriptures and the truthfulness of it, all that kind of thing. There's plenty of evidence for that. But for this purpose here, I think we, you know, if you're a believer, you need to know that Old Testament, New Testament, everything here is God's Word, okay? This is God's Word. Well, why does that matter? It matters because it carries the weight of authority, right? That means, you know, this is actually as if God sat down here and said something personal to me and you about what he wanted us to do about relationships or all the things he's talked about in the Scripture, okay? It's from God, right? And so it's not just a great piece of literature, although it is that, you know, but so much more. I guess that's the idea, is that, you know, this is the Word of God, and therefore every word is from God. And so when we read it, we need to receive it like that, with authority. With authority. He's just saying, this is what God has to say. You know, when I want to use a piece of software in the classroom, whether it's like, I've been kind of playing around with Microsoft OneNote, and I put my notes out for my students so that when I write on my tablet in class, I don't have to do anything. It's all live, and they can see it right away and on any device they have, and it's free. You know, but I had to learn some things about that. Well, when I had questions about it, I tweeted the Microsoft team that works with that, the OneNote team. I go to the experts, the authority. I mean, these guys know this product inside and out, so I go to the authority, right? Well, God's written, you know, here has given us so many things to learn about him. He's certainly the authority on himself, right? And about family life, about finances. I mean, he's written on all these things, right? And so he's the authority, right? And so, and let me just ask you this. Have you really, is your posture towards God's word that it is authoritative, right? Because if something is the authority, then I place myself under it, don't I? I allow it to influence my life. I allow it to influence my decisions. What I will do, what I won't do, right? What I embrace as a value and what I throw away, in a sense, in terms of my values. What are good, what's bad, right? All this would come from the scripture. So, but you have to come to a point, if you haven't already, that you will receive the scripture as what it claims to be, and that is God's word, right? And the important thing here is that it says all scripture, right? You know what that means? No cutting and paste. Yeah, it does mean all. Yeah, yes. And my implication means I can't cut and paste, or I can't just cut, right? I can't cut out the things I don't like. You know, the hard stuff, the stuff I don't even understand, which, you know, there's plenty of that, okay? But there's plenty that's clear, right? And so this is the thing. It's like, you know, because if we allow ourselves to go the route of, oh, well, he certainly didn't mean that, right? And, well, so that can't be really, you know, what God wants. So then, if we start cutting out those things, then who's to say what's to be, you know, cut out and what's not? By the time you're done cutting things out, you have, you know, God is love or something that we like to hear, which is true. He is love, okay? But I'm just saying, you know. So do you see where that slippery slope of that leads us? And so that's why, you know, we need to really see this word in itself today. These verses themselves are the word of God. And so he says, all scripture is inspired by God, is God-breathed. And so what I would encourage you to do, and we'll get into this here in a few minutes, but, you know, when you read your Bible, right, you should write down the questions you have, you know. I read, every time I prepare for a sermon, the very first read I do on a passage, I've got a gazillion questions. I'm like, what is he saying? How does this even relate to what he just said? You know, I mean, I've got a lot of questions. What does this word even mean? You know what I mean? I mean, so you've got questions too when you read your Bible, right? You know, have you ever read the Psalms? In the Psalms that they call the imprecatory Psalms? Bash their heads against the rocks, God! What? I mean, oh my gosh, you know, and you're like, what am I supposed to do with that? I'm not going to tell you. But I'm just saying, these are the questions, you know, you got questions. When you read your Bible, you know, put a question mark down, or if you don't have a piece of paper beside you when you're reading, you know, you write these questions down and seek the answers out. Do some study on your own, whether it's using a good study Bible or whether it's talk to a friend that, you know, really does trust the Bible as the word of God, right? Study it together, you know, but this is important, right? This is important stuff that you get your question answered, because if you start living life with a bunch of unanswered questions about the scripture, then eventually you just start questioning everything. And you're just not sure and you don't have your confidence. You know, and it just goes downhill from there. So what we need to do is to realize that, you know, this scripture, we need to see it as the authority, and we need to let it have authority over our lives, which means the decisions we make. We should try to find out. You know, I wonder what God has to say about handling money. Plenty of it in the Proverbs. And everybody always, when you bring it up at church, they always think it's about giving and tithing. You know, that's just a small percentage of what the Bible has to say about the wisdom on money. About using money, right, and how to handle it, and so on. I mean, there's just so much great wisdom there from the Scriptures, but we need to see that it's the authority. And then when we see that, we receive it. When it says to do something or to not do something, or if it says me to love my wife as Christ loved the church sacrificially, right, and so on. You know, and that's, you know, that's what it means. And so I say, okay, God, you said it. I'm going to take that on as that's what you want me to do. It's not just a nice suggestion, like a friend said it to you, and you can kind of take it or leave it, right? So are we getting this? All Scripture, God-breathed, authoritative, right? This is what it's saying. Because, you're probably waiting on this, right? The Bible is God's authoritative word over all people, whether they want to recognize it or not, okay? So this is the word of God, whether somebody says it is or not. Okay, and this is true regardless whether somebody agrees with it or not, you know. And so that's what it's saying. Now, the next part, he says, and is profitable. Well, because it is the authoritative word of God, because it's breathed out by God, then it's useful. It's profitable for us. And then he goes down and he breaks it down and he kind of gives us a couple categories. He says how it's useful, okay? He gives two categories. The first category is the category of belief. God's word tells me what's true, okay? It tells me what's true. So when it says there in that passage, when it says it's profitable for teaching, he says, well, God's word tells me, he teaches me what's true, okay? It teaches me what's true. So it's our source for, you know, some people don't like the word, but doctrine, you know, that's the teaching, right? He tells me what's true. What I need to believe about God and what he says comes right from here, right? And then he says, for reproof. That's kind of like the counter to that. Basically saying, so I'll know what's true, and I'll know what's false. I'll know what's true, and I'll know what's false. So it helps me know what I should believe, right? And it helps me know what's false teaching, right? We see many times, right, even in this book of the Bible so far, that the Apostle Paul has pointed out, say, this is false teaching over here. This is false teaching. Don't you swallow that. You know, this is a bunch of hooey. And so he's saying, listen, the Bible tells us what's true and what's false about all the things that God speaks about. You know, there's an implication there if it says that that it's profitable for teaching. That implies that there's a learning, right? Doesn't it? Am I a learner of the Scriptures? Am I a learner of the Scriptures? And so I think that's the thing, is that is the posture, when I, my attitude towards the Scripture, when I come to it, as I see it as the authority of God that I put myself under, and that I want to then learn. I want to learn what God has to say about whatever he has said. And those again affect, you know, what God says about himself, what he says about the Son Jesus, what he says about the Holy Spirit, what he says about family life, what he says about you know, relationship, all those things that I mentioned before here. Now, I want to let me go through these other two things. So the first two, for teaching and for reproof, that's about belief. The second two is about behavior. Okay, the second two is about behavior. So let me fill in this blank for you. The regular intake and application of God's word enables us to do what God calls us to do. So here we're talking about intake, meaning the reading or the listening to the Scriptures, right? And applying it. But these second two talk about not only my belief, but my behavior. He says, for correction. It's useful for correction. Has anybody ever been into the orthodontist? Had some braces put on, yeah. That's a bummer, isn't it? And anybody here ever been to the orthopedist? Yeah, had a bone set or something, right? I broke my left arm when I was in high school. it's a long story. You don't need to know it. But you know what the guy did? The orthopedist wasn't at the one hospital in Troy. There was two hospitals in Troy at the time. And so they shot me full of sodium pentothal and then set me over to the other hospital. My mom was driving, thank God. And so he's in there, and he's got my wrist over his hand, because I broke the one full clean through and the other one partially. And so he just went, like that. Of course, I didn't feel a thing at the time. I was very loose-lipped. That's true. So I was like, anything I say here, I just hope he wasn't going to tell my mom. He said it. He put it in line, in alignment. Right? And that's what an orthopedist does. That's what an orthodontist does, is they get your teeth in alignment, right? It means to put in a line, because they both have the same word, ortho, which means to put in a line. And that's what this word is. Correction. It's to put it in line. It means to put it in line. So it's saying, you know what? Let's put your behavior in alignment with what the truth says. And that's what the scripture does. Sometimes it just points out, you know that thing you're doing? It's not what God wants. Let's get it in alignment, okay? And then this word for training in righteousness, that's like preventative training, you know? That's like, okay, so yeah, the correction, right, get it in line if it's out of line. This was like, okay, maybe you're going along fine, but it just, as I study the Word of God and keep studying, it trains me up to stay on the path. This is really giving us, in one sense, the benefits of the Word of God, right? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And I believe the word that's used here for man is not to be exclusively male, because sometimes it does talk about exclusively male things in the Bible, but this is men and women, okay? Men and women can be equipped for every good work, okay? Every good work. Every good work. So what he's saying is, you know, I started off the message today talking about, you know, if we will allow, we need to allow God to use his word. We see it as the authoritative word of God. And as we understand it, then we become equipped to do the things he calls us to do. In other words, it's going to be like, you know, if we aren't students of the book, and God's got stuff for us to do, and he wants us to carry out on our daily lives or whatever, we're not going to be, it's like not having the manual to your iPhone, and you just know how to dial somebody. You're just going to, you know, you're hamstrung. It's like you got your hands tied behind your back. You're not equipped for what this is. And God says, I've given you everything right there in that book for life and godliness. He says that. He says, well, we have everything we need for life and godliness. But we need to be people of the book. You know, Wesley said that. John Wesley said that. He says, I want to be a man of just one book. I like to read books. I read a lot of books. I listen to a lot of books. But I got to make sure I know this one more than any. And so do you, if you're a follower of Jesus. And it just starts. You got to start somewhere. You know, it's a daunting task to know, you know, to study the Bible. It's a lifelong pursuit, right? I've never taught on the book of Revelation. It's not that I have anything against it, but that would be a daunting task, right? And so maybe that means I need to do it, right? Okay, listen. Yeah, there we go. The challenge has been laid. All right, listen. So let me just give you something real practical. This week, and when you get in the Word of God, And you know, if you're not been a regular reader of the Word of God, I encourage you to just do this one thing. And this is only because this is what I'm doing right now. Okay, there's nothing special about this reading plan. There's plenty of other things out there a reading plan you could use. I go to todayintheword.com. That's Moody's daily devotional from Moody Bible. All right, todayintheword.com. And I'll read the Bible passage that's written there first before I read anything they said about it, right? And then be on the lookout, okay? Be on the lookout for what? For space pets. What? God believes in aliens? I don't know. What does that mean? No, this is just an acronym, and I think Rick Warren came up with this. if I'm not mistaken. And it's a great one, one of many other ways. But basically what it is, it's a way to ask questions about what you're reading that help you see some application. Not, this is important, not all the questions apply in every passage you read, okay? But so one of the questions is there a sin to confess, right? And you have a copy of this in your bulletin, I think, don't you? Right? Is there a sin to confess? Does God's word make you aware of something? So when you read on something, and sometimes we run across in the scriptures a list of vices, they call it, you know, or things to avoid, right? Well, maybe the Holy Spirit convicts me in that. That question says, okay, Lord, we need to deal with this right now, okay? Is there a sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? Lots of promises in the Bible, right? I'm not going to read through all this. It's like my syllabus. You can read it, okay? But you know, is there an attitude to change? That's a good one, because I have attitudes sometimes. But it might be an attitude about, you know, some person, or even I'm not trusting God for something. Is there a command to obey? There are many commands in the Scripture. Is there an example to follow, good or bad? Right? When you read the historical narratives in the Old Testament, the stories, right? You see great examples and you see bad examples, right? And so we get that. Is there a prayer to pray? There are scriptures, scriptural prayers that are written right out there for us. Is there an error to avoid, right? And then is there a truth to believe? Sometimes there's not anything to do, but there's something to believe, right? A truth to believe about God, a truth to believe about the Holy Spirit, a truth to believe about the Son Jesus. I mean, there's sometimes it's just about a truth to believe. And then lastly, is there something for which to praise God for? Maybe it was a truth that you just read. That's, thank you, God, that you are merciful. Thank you, God, that you are patient with me. You know, just maybe you read a verse about the patience of God. And so this week, imagine if every one of us, right, whatever we're doing in our reading, we ask these questions about a passage. You're going to get some nuggets that God has for you. Right, and I think, you know, when I start thinking about these questions to ask, you know, because sometimes many of us, you know, nobody taught us how to read our Bible, right? Nobody, you know, they said, okay, you should read the Bible. Okay, great, you know, and at least the reading, that's great. But you know, this helps us what we call interrogate the text, to ask questions, to interact with it, right? And so I just encourage every one of us, because if we do this, right, and like this point says, if we go back to what the point is saying, is it says the regular intake and what? Application. Oh, do it. That's the tough part, isn't it? Yeah, it's one thing to say, you know, love your spouse, you know, but it's another thing to do it sometimes, right? It's one thing to say, you know, you need to forgive, you know, 70 times 7. But it's another thing to do it, right? And so we need to see the Lord doesn't want us to just take in information. It's good to know stuff, but you know what? Knowing stuff doesn't make you a mature Christian. The doing does. The doing will mature you, okay? The doing will mature you. So ask, and if you're a Christian, you got the Holy Spirit, he's going to help you do it, right? He's going to help you do it. So that's my encouragement. That's your homework this week, okay? I'm not going to check it, all right? But that's our homework this week, all of us. Let's just read a passage, you know, have some type of time set up for you where you're going to do this. You're getting in the Word. You're asking these questions. And then I'll tell you what. Take it one step further. An additional bonus assignment for extra credit. Tell somebody what you learned. Tell somebody. Was it something to praise God for that you got out of the Word this week? Was it a sin to avoid? What was it? Share it with somebody, okay? Share it with somebody. All right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that we have here your word. It's written down by men, but moved in such a way as what we have is exactly what you wanted us to have. And Father, I pray that every one of us would put ourselves under it, knowing that everything you say in that book is for our good. You don't want us to believe lies about you. You don't want us to believe lies about ourselves. You don't want us to miss anything that you have for us in our families. Lord, give us a hunger for your word. And Lord, as we each and every one of us goes into it this week, thinking about those questions that we can ask, Lord, give everybody here, I pray, a nugget from your word that will really encourage them, that will strengthen them, and help them to practice it and to share it with somebody else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.